Return once more with us to Japan as we kick off the final season of the podcast with another independent kaiju film from director Minoru Kawasaki. Will this buffet line of monsters be a hit, or is this smorgasbord destined to fail to titillate our taste buds? The only way to find out is to watch the film and leave our Yelp review here. This is Kaiju vs. History, Monster Seafood Wars.
Welcome back to Kaiju versus History. This is a giant squid costume that looks like a reused restaurant advertisement. Patrick, in joining me and slicing and dicing as a jumbo cook is Miles. Hey, Miles.
Hey. It's not Fat Albert.
It's Monster Seafood Wars.
Our sometime friend, sometimes foe, Minoru Kawasaki has come name, back.
Name one thing he's done wrong, Miles.
You know I didn't care for Attack of the G8 Summit.
Oh my God, I love that movie so much.
I know you did, but I did not.
I love them all. So spoiler warning, I am back now when this episode comes out, but
how was your trip, bud?
Yeah, I'm going to Japan when I record this, and he like operates like a bar in Tokyo.
Oh, you gotta go.
And well, I won't be able to convince the wife to go out like late at night and Google Translate with this director.
I think you know what, if she really does love you, then she would back you up on this.
Go and take my copy of Monster Seafood Wars to get signed. But he seems like such a nice dude. If you follow his Instagram or his he does a lot of movie reviews online. Just seems like very, very positive, very fun director. And
yeah, I mean, I am certainly a fan of the man's work. I can't say that I'm not.
Mm-hmm. I think he's my favorite of the kind of more independent kaiju filmmakers out of Japan. But I'll be the first to agree. There are some hits, there are some misses in his catalog, but I've laughed at just about everything he's done. I enjoyed Kaiju Mono so much. So fun.
I loved Kaiju Mono. Kaiju Mono was a blast. Outer Man was a blast. And this one is interesting because I kind of walked in. This is a movie that I have seen the artwork for, I think, since it came out, and I was pretty excited about it just because the kaiju outfits reminded me of, Kaiju Big Battle or some of the kind of TV or wrestling themed kaiju stuff that we haven't covered on the show that's been in both the States and Japan, that I feel like it would have been helpful to watch some of that so we have more of a basis to how this one looks, because this one's interesting mostly because the outfits themselves are such TV outfits.
Yeah, I think kind of on purpose.
For sure.
And we'll talk about the suits more in depth, but they are also very reminiscent of suits that he used for one of his first movies, the Calamari Wrestler, which is just a big squid that decides to become a professional wrestler. Yeah, and he has another one. Every single movie title of his is absolutely hilarious. He has another film from 2006 called Crab Goalkeeper, which I think is the same kind of pseudomation, very funny pseudomation in that movie.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But yeah, it's kind of like a stylistic thing that he chose. They're very cartoony, and we'll talk about them more. But yeah, this movie came out in 2020, August 20th, it debuted in the U.S. and it hit Japanese theaters about this time 5 years ago in June 6th of 2020. So I guess we technically just passed its 5-year anniversary. It feels a little bit older than that, but it so far has been his last, I think, full giant monster kaiju movie. He's done another one.
He did the reboot of Planet Prince.
Yes. And
which I think is supposed to be a little bit more serious.
He did Super Legend God Hisoka as well, which is kind of like a tokusatsu Power Rangers style.
Yeah. Has that one come out yet?
Yes. It came out in 2022, and I think SRS Cinemas brought it over nearly immediately. But it's not a giant monster, so it is not on our list. But yeah, Monster Seafood Wars is the last of his films that we get to talk about here. And unless, of course, and I've said this multiple times, if we can get a English translation of Earth Defense Widow, which I own on DVD, but unfortunately doesn't have English subtitles. I was really hoping there'd be.
For some reason, I thought you said you came across something.
No, not for that film. I feel like I was this close to like, maybe I should just go ahead and commission people to do like subtitles for the film, but it's just not like AI technology is not good enough for like Japanese translation or anything like that, or you know, just computer translation. It's not good enough. But I do want to see that movie. That one's from 2014, so that's over a decade old. But this movie is his last like true kaiju film, and it's one of the first ones I saw by him. I got the DVD from SRS and popped it in, and I did not know what to expect, Miles, because I had not even seen Attack the G8 Summit anything before this. What did you think? Are you excited to talk about this film?
Yeah, no, I'm interested to talk about it. I have to say, I feel like this is one of his more milquetoast films. Like, I feel like he's got a very, very cool concept, and he has a potentially interesting cast of characters that I don't think get fleshed out enough to either be someone to root for or to be funny. And I guess it feels like it relies a little bit more on its concept, which we don't get quite enough of. But before we get into that, Patrick, you gotta tell us what's in the title.
Oh boy. Sandai Kaiju Gurume is the actual Japanese title, which translates out to, you know, Three Kaiju Gourmet or Three Monsters Gourmet. That's a good title. I do like Monster Seafood Wars a lot.
I like Monster Seafood Wars, but it makes me think that like each monster is representative of a different restaurant chain.
Yes. Well,
and now we're cooking with gas. I think Three Monsters Gourmet is probably a more appropriate title, or monster like, well, the other two on here are probably good too.
Some of the alternative English titles are Monster Gourmet or Monster Cuisine.
Monster Cuisine I like.
Yeah. Well, because it is a lot about eating them. There's a lot of chat about eating the monsters in the movie, and to a hilarious degree, I think, in a country where seafood is so important, it is a kind of an integral part of this spoof. You know, it's a comedy movie to save some breath here. I will say, I don't think, maybe I wasn't spoiled about the Jumbo Cook's appearance at the end.
I was not, and I was so delighted by Jumbo Cook.
Jumbo Cook is so good. So, spoiler warning, like I said, I was going to Japan. I'm going to Japan this week when we're recording this. I am going to visit the iconic giant chef in it's called like the Kitchen District of Tsukasa, I think. It's by Ueno Park. I have it on my itinerary. I'm definitely going to go try and find that guy. The Jumbo Cook itself stands about 36 feet tall if it was standing by itself, but it's like on top of a building, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of been...
He's like their boss, big boy.
Yeah, he's been the symbol of that district since 1982. A little bit of history of the knife district. The him coming out of the building is just so good in this movie. Definitely didn't see that coming, and that adds a lot to the technical score, because
the third act for me completely saves the picture.
I don't know what else to say, but it is about three pieces of seafood that how do they transform. I don't even remember in the
film. So that's the thing, is like, you know, at the beginning of the picture, our I guess our protagonist.
Talk about milquetoast. It really does feel like a a self-insert by Minoru Kawasaki.
Oh, it absolutely does. But like, he didn't write himself any sort of like, you know, bonuses.
He's not a cool role.
Yeah. So we have Yuta Tunama, who is visiting a shrine that he goes to every year to give offerings. And his father, who owns a sushi restaurant, picks the three, the freshest ingredients. And in this particular case, a squid, a crab, and a octopus. Mm-hmm. Now, he is attacked on his way on his bike. It's meant to look like he's got clotheslined, but like it just looks like someone like kind of lightly bumped him. And he acts as if like he was a soccer player that took a slide tackle, and he's like, oh, and this person has run off. And we find out that person like instantly gave these creatures, what was it called? Something X.
Yes. It is very similar to like the, God, what was the from Kaiju Mono? It was like MacGuffin X or something formula.
Yeah. It's got an actual like name. It's like,
Setup X.
Setup X. Yeah.
Setup Z. And I think it was the Setup X in Kaiju Mono. So
yes.
Very, very similar tongue-in-cheek, MacGuffin-esque chemicals that transform things into giant rampaging monsters. Yeah. And I will say I like it. I like the concept. I
love the concept. I think on paper, this movie really works.
Storytelling and the framing of it, though, is what kind of loses me. It is shot somewhat documentary style.
Yeah, which they don't do enough of.
Yeah, I feel like if it was a full, what's the Big Man in Japan kind of mockumentary, this would have been easily one of his best films. But they kind of drop it every once in a while. It doesn't feel like we are film crew following the
right
people fighting the crime. It feels like a documentary spliced into the movie, which just doesn't work as well for me.
Yeah, I get what they were going for, but I agree with you. They don't quite make it work here. And that's, I think, my big problem is like he's someone who's always taken big swings and been pretty like pointed in how he executes his kind of comedic takes on the tokusatsu and kaiju subgenres. And here he's got a great idea. He's got, honestly, the beginning story. I like this idea of this kid who is like a boy genius who looks like he's like 14, but also like at one point was part of this government research group. And his rival, we find out, is also working with this group and is kind of horning in on the girl that he has a crush on. That whole love triangle is very poorly conceived and very poorly executed, especially when Yuta like just like pretty much like negs this girl in at the midway point. I'm like, what are you doing, man?
yeah, it's definitely one of the weaker parts of the film in general. Like I said, I did not know what to expect going into this film. It does seem like until the end, the actual fighting of the kaiju seems to be on the back burner.
Yeah, because you have these three creatures and they are kind of fighting one another. And at first they want to like, oh, we'll have them fight each other and then we'll work on the victor. They also come up with the idea of this rice vinegar cannon because
it make all the food stuff for tenderizing the meat and then them eating the kaiju parts that fall off is very funny.
It is conceptually very funny, and that should have been like immediately the whole point of the movie.
Yes, is how the military doesn't actually want to stop the kaiju. They just want to break away parts of them to eat.
Yeah, like I think the times where it tries to be a kaiju movie before the third act is really rough. And honestly, some of the worst like suit acting I've seen from a Kawasaki movie in quite some time. Like, I mean, frankly, The all three monsters are pretty poorly acted, and the suits are like TV grade, so they're not like realistic. They're not, they don't have like crazy details. They are cartoonish squid, octopus, and crab, with the crab probably being the most like detailed of the three. And they're fun. They're cute, funny designs, and it kind of gives the impression, oh, this is gonna be a super goofy movie, but it really isn't until like the last, you know, 20 minutes. Like it's got a comedic edge to it, but most of it's kind of like just kind of going through the motions. And I think that's what weakens this movie is like, typically he really amps up a lot of the humor, and there's moments here and there where there's a funny joke, but it's not a consistently funny picture.
Yeah. I feel like if you are going to have the focus be these three kaiju and then like a giant mech at the end, you could have introduced them maybe a little bit more independently. We first get to talk about the kaiju sumation itself, Tacola and Ikala, the octopus and the squid respectively fighting in I think South Tokyo is where it takes place. And yeah, like you said, it looks like a sketch about a kaiju film as opposed to a kaiju film, you know. very simple miniature, like kind of building prop location. And the suits are made, it's kind of a technique called kigurumi, which is, like I said, if not a restaurant's mascot quality suit, it is crude. It's like an amusement park
character. Yeah, I mean,
and it's made to look like a, you know, a mascot or a a cartoon character of sorts. So
yes, and mascots are, you know, a much bigger part of Japanese stuff than here. You basically have mascots for like sports teams and the occasional like thing, but everything has a mascot over there.
It does seem like he made these suits maybe with the ideas like, I could probably resell these pretty easily after the movie,
right
to like a squid company or something along those lines. I think they look fine for what they are. Both the squid and the octopus look very similar, which is, you know, a problem for me, but you get a fun crab kaiju as well. A lot of people think this movie was kind of a nod, a throwback to Ashiro Honda's 1970 film Space Amoeba, because that also has a giant squid, a giant crab monster in it. And I think the poster actually pays homage to that as well as the SRS Cinema DVD cover by Matt Frank. So there's a lot of connective tissue, but I, you know, thematically, these are very different movies. I do like the kaijus, but Jumbo Cook is obviously the best part of this film, right, Miles?
Yeah. Jumbo Cook is, I mean, and that's one of the things is like, I'm definitely not saying don't see this movie. I do think it's one of his weaker films. But that third act, when they introduced Jumbo Cook, I was laughing the entire time. I was engaged. The actual like robot mech suit they have looks pretty great. I mean, it's certainly tokusatsu quality. Maybe not as much money as they spent on those now, but certainly 90s tokusatsu quality. I was super into this design. I really like the idea of the equivalent of Bob's Big Boy, like an iconic piece of the area coming to life and taking on these these sea creatures. I thought that was not only that, but like he does some of the movements that both mechs do in either Gundam anime or in tokusatsu finishing moves, specifically Super Sentai.
Yes.
And I could not get enough of that.
as great as a third act reveal as it was, I kind of wish it was in more of the movie, and maybe, you know, I don't know, maybe this universe just already knew that it had to have this, you know, because kaiju have attacked in the past or something before. But yeah, I love it. It looks great. It's very fun. The end of the film has another three seafoods, I think, being dropped, like a lobster and like a sea urchin.
It's a lobster, a mollusk, and something else.
I would have loved a sequel to this film. I feel like this sets up a fun kind of comedic universe that you can play around with. And maybe you could do something else. Like in addition to Jumbo Cook, we can have kind of a throwback to the Great Buddha statue or something along those lines.
Right.
Like other giant things in Tokyo. Or just as hilarious as it would be, an Ultraman spoof or like a Den Ace, another character from Minoru Kawasaki's kind of universe kind of bleeding over into this would be a lot of fun. Oh boy, Miles. Yeah, did you have a favorite scene outside of that third act?
Yes. The entire sequence of, I think, everyone trying the monster meat for the first time.
Yeah, that was very good. I feel like...
Particularly the YouTubers. Like, yeah. Often they do that in a... That's done in a very cringe way, but, like, this one I was like, no, this is very fun. Especially with the person who's like, you know, oh, I don't believe in eating monster food. I think that's probably a bad thing, but I gotta do it for the show. And then they're like, no, monster food's the way to go. I changed my mind.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
What about, did you have a favorite outside of our boy?
There's some funny sequences in like the command center or the restaurant where our main love triangle kind of like comes to a head. The main character is friends with like a nerdy tech guy who has some fun scenes, who I think is the pilot of Jumbo Cook towards the end of the film. There's some good stuff kind of mingled throughout, but yeah, that worked for me. Like I said, I think the documentary style kind of interviews really slowed down the film in other parts, but yeah, Jumbo Cook, it's so good. it's worth watching the movie just for him. This movie surprisingly is kind of all over the place as far as ratings go. It has only 13 reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, but a 77% score, which seems high for independent kaiju movies like this. The IMDb ratings have it at 5.2 out of 10, and it has three and a quarter stars on Letterboxd. I do think this is just because we loved Outer Man and Kaiju Mono so much, I think this is just a little bit step back. Are you ready to rate this film?
Maybe? Yeah, and I feel bad about it just because like I do like Minoru Kawasaki's films a great deal. But this one, I kind of mark pretty hard just because, I mean, frankly, a lot of it's, like I said, it's milked. It's kind of boring. Mm, yeah. Like there's large stretches of this film where like nothing's really happening and they're kind of circling the same kind of dinner sequences between, what's his name, Hidori? Mm-hmm. And what's her, what is her name? Is it Yumi?
That sounds right.
No, Nana, Nana.
No, yes.
They didn't give really her much to do at all. And then both the boys were bad cartoon characters, but they weren't cartoony enough for it to be kind of manic and exciting in the way that maybe Kaiju Mono was, but it also wasn't smart at like in the way that Outer Man was. There was cool stuff happening. It's a great idea, but I feel like it's kind of a slog to get through. The third act does really lift it up. The Jumbo Cook is a absolute delight, especially that sequence when they have the kind of obligatory American in there, and it's like, oh, Jumbo Cook, and I was like, really? You know his name already.
I'm telling you, he's an icon of the kitchen.
It was very funny. But yeah, I'm actually pretty hard on this one, even for my personal enjoyment. I certainly don't think it's a bad film, but it's barely baseline good for me. Like it's kind of, like I said, it's kind of boring, and that's worse than being bad. So I'm giving it a 6 out of 10.
Yeah, I'm close to you there. I feel like if you like Minoru Kawasaki films, this is a good amount of fun, a good watch. Yeah. But yeah, falls flat compared to what I would say are excellent films. We put on our like best of kind of list, Outer Man and Kaiju Mono. We both enjoyed a good deal. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I bought this Blu-ray years ago and watched it. I enjoyed it at the time because I hadn't seen his other films. I hadn't seen really any kind of comedic kaiju film. So this was, while boring, still more of a very interesting niche watch for me. But yeah, I think this is my least favorite of his films. I'm still going to give it a 7 out of 10 because I enjoy this so much more than other things. But I'm close to you, Miles. I'm close. I feel you on that 6 out of 10. For the technical, I am going to go with another 7 out of 10. I like the actors in the film. I like the general story. But yeah, parts of the script just felt very underdeveloped. while still fun in some ways, the concept very fun, the plot was very thin, and it was stretched out over those mockumentary-style interviews. And, yeah, some of the production value just felt like it lagged behind even something very low budget like Outer Man. Outer Man probably felt like the cheapest of his films, still kind of looked better than this in some ways. I enjoyed the Zoomation. I would have preferred, you know, maybe less suits, but better quality. So 7 out of 10 miles. What about you for the technical score?
I'm kind of sticking where I'm at. I'm kind of with you in, I think the actors are, I like them. They're fine, but they're not written that great. The suits, they're not abominations by any stretch. This is not like the Japanese Kong outfit, but they're also, they're not really evocative of anything. They're not that interesting. And because they don't do a whole lot, and there's not really a great reason for them being that cartoony. Like, I know there's like a little bit of a take on TV style of things. It just, it doesn't work with the film, especially since the actual suit actors, you know, really feel like they're just kind of like slamming into each other. It doesn't feel like there's a whole lot of suit acting going on. It just feels like they're just flailing about. And yeah, the story is paper thin. And he's usually really good at that stuff. Like having like a basic story that's got like a bunch of layers, and he's doing a lot of meta commentary, specifically with Kaiju Mono and Outer Man. And all of that's absent here. I feel like he's got a little bit more money, or he's smarter with it. Mm-hmm. But I just, because I feel like the camera work looks to be of a higher quality, but everything else just kind of feels eh. Mm-hmm. And it just, yeah, it's pretty limp. I definitely want to give it a little bit of a bump because of that Jumbo Cook outfit. That thing is pretty great. But the score is a nothing burger. And, you know, there just isn't a whole lot that really holds this film into the very good range, which is what you get with like upper sevens and eights. So, or eights getting into the great range. So I feel comfortable keeping it at a six here.
Yeah. What about where it lands as a piece of kaiju art? What's about its importance on our list? Where do you rank it there?
I hate to say it, but I'm probably gonna go lower my score.
Oh my goodness.
Like I don't want to give this movie that bad of a review, but at the same time, if I'm thinking about like what it's taking from, like it has a great concept. And that hooks you into the view. It just doesn't do a whole lot with it. Like when they have that 15 minutes in the middle of the film where everyone's talking about the monster seafood and experiencing monster seafood. And that whole, I was like, this should have been the basis of the movie from the get. Mm-hmm. Like everything happened before should have been the first like 10 minutes max. And monster seafood should have been the crux of the film. And I don't know. I can't give it too much for just its concept because, you know, if I think of what he did with Outer Man and what he did with Kaiju Mono, where he had something to say, where he was doing interesting things with, you know, the genre, with the things he was working with, like wrestling or tokusatsu television, it makes me feel like maybe he should have gone back to the drawing board before he started shooting things. So I'm giving this a five because I definitely think it's something that people should, you know, catch eventually, but I'm not going to like at a party be like, oh yeah, you got to see Monster Seafood Wars. No, you got to see Outer Man and Kaiju Mono first.
I'm sorry. You went to a five?
Yeah, I went to a five.
I'm at a 6 out of 10 for this. Definitely not.
So we both dropped down. So
yeah, I just think he has a lot of good movies, I think, on his list. And I personally enjoyed Attack the G8 Summit a good deal. So I would even recommend that one over this film. So it's hard for me to give it more points. But I feel like Kaiju Mono was a very fun one, very singular. He's got Outer Man for the Ultraman universe. And this one, while maybe a feather in his cap, I wish it wasn't his last Kaiju movie. I wish he had some more, or did some sequels to some of these other films. And I wish they brought some, even his non-Kaiju films over. I wish SRS kind of invested more into Minoru Kawasaki because, like I said, he has so many fun. We talked about in past episodes, he's got films like Executive Koala, Rug Cop, and Pussy Soup.
Yeah.
Nico Ramen, a cat that has a ramen shop. I want to see all these movies, Miles. I want to see them so bad. And some of them are just not available here. And even with my impending Japan trip, I don't think they have English subtitles. I'd be looking for these
movies
over there if that was the case.
Unfortunately, yeah, if it's something that they haven't like localized internationally, you're not getting English subtitles. I found that out the hard way when I got access to Japanese Netflix, and I was so excited. And then I realized, oh, there is no English subtitle option at all.
Yeah, it stinks. So that, what's that put you at? You're at a 5.6 mm-hmm. out of 10. I'm at a 6.6. Brings our podcast total down to a 6 out of 10. Which is not bad, but it is, I want to say, the lowest of his films. I'm actually not sure about Attack the G8 Summit. Oh, no, Attack the G8 Summit I really enjoyed. So that got a 7 out of 10, and Outer Man and Kaiju Mono were both 8 out of 10s. Is that all four of his kaiju films that we have access to? Yes. Yeah, this is technically, I think, going to be his lowest score that he's gotten from us, but still a fun film. And if you like the other three, I think it's worth watching this one. You know, it's on Tubi. It's on Amazon Prime. It's actually very accessible, which is good. But yeah, that's going to do it for Monster Seafood Wars. Miles, where can folks find us if they want to talk about the last 200 episodes of this podcast about this upcoming season 8?
Well, if you want to email us, you can email us at kaijuversehistory@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Blue Sky at kaijuversehistory. You can visit our website, kaijuversehistory.com. Please rate and review our show, comment, share with your friends, and let us know what you think. Check out our Letterboxd account to see our reviews and watch our list of films. And go to our sister show's website, cosmiccrit.com. It's a tabletop role-playing game, actual play podcast that Patrick and I do with our friends. And click on that Discord button. There is a Kaiju versus History channel that you can talk to Patrick and I in real time about any sort of kaiju thing that you want to while we are bored at work. Patrick, what are we doing next week?
Thank you, Miles. Thank you, listeners. We're going to catch you next time when we take a break from films and maybe look at a little bit more of an outlier of an anime series, and one that was really kind of flash in the pan, but takes as much of its DNA from kind of several other animated universes and adds them to a world where giant monsters chase humanity in a giant robotic ship. So yeah, tune in next time along with us for History versus Decadence.
Bum, 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 bum. We'll